What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You got a whole entire crew here working for you. I mean, I'm one person.
Yeah.
For 4 hours, you guys got, 10 producers and everything. And just, it's Keezer's last day. And I just want everybody to know how great of a dude Keezer was to work with and how great of a dude Keezer is in general. And I'm really going to miss him.
Yeah, that's well said. And like you said, it's a big operation here. We got donuts. We got all these people hanging around the studio. It's a crowded place today. So big stuff here on the Robbie and Rex Row program. Stilly, I want to start here with you before I yell at you about the Masters a little bit later in the segment. So,
do you have a little plastic Masters glass with the little Augusta logo on it?
I need to get one in October and July and things like that. No, I think next year I'm going to order the little snack packs that they send out. I'm going to get that
pimento sandwich.
Yeah, I'll get some pimento sent my way. We'll do that for sure. I want to start with you on the Titans front here from this question though, going back to the Baker Mayfield discussion that we've had this week. My question for you, Stilly, is this. What upsets you more about this discussion? Would it be, in fact, Cam Ward being taken at number one overall and having the type of season that Baker Mayfield had last year? Or are you more upset around the conversation of the supposed hypocrisy from Titans fans where they would take what they saw from Baker last year, but most of them wanted no part of Sam Darnold?
Let's get to the bottom of this question. I would argue I'm probably more mad in the moment about the second thing, which is Baker, if he can be Baker, that's a home run. Sam Darnold sucks. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Baker threw for 4,700 or 4,500 yards. Sam threw for 4,300 yards. Sam won 14 games. Baker won 10. Baker had a rating of 106. Sam 102. They were the same guy last year. And you're like, if we can get the Baker season, it's the best. Sam sucks. So that absolutely pissed me off.
That's what I
thought. But I would also say that, again, given the spot the Titans are in, I'm not doing this thing where I know they had an opportunity to improve quarterback and free agency. They had no interest in doing anything in free agency. I mean, PK came back from the combine and said, they're not doing it. I mean, think Mac Jones. So it wasn't as if, oh, yeah, they called Darnold and Darnold said no thank you. They called the Seahawks about Geno Smith and they said no thank you. It was no. They had no intention of fixing quarterback in free agency. So if you're not going to fix quarterback in free agency, it's because you're going to draft your franchise quarterback. Unless you're in a spot like the Browns where you're paying a guy $46 million, so you got to take a cheap guy. So I'm like, all right, fine. If you're going to forgo, again, what I think is a good starter in free agency, a Baker-level starter, in order to go draft a Kyler-level starter, then everybody should be fired because that's stupid. But if you're going to draft a guy that you think's going to be a force multiplier, you think is going to be Jaden Daniels, then you draft him. So, I mean, I'm kind of more worked up from the idea that everybody, with the exception of Lewis Riddick, tells me that Cam Ward's not that good. And, I mean, I've seen the Cam Ward tape, and there's good in the Cam Ward tape, but, I mean, I wouldn't risk my career on Cam Ward. So that bothers me. But, the more immediate anger probably comes from the Baker-Sam Darnold thing. But because, again, I think what happens is with Sam Darnold, that people are just like, that sucks. Like, Monday Night Football, 8 years ago, he said he was seeing ghosts. Sucks. And that probably bothers me the most in the short term. But in the long term, it's going to be if Cam Ward is a mid-level quarterback, and now we're talking about, well, you got to give him $58 million a year because that's the going rate for a mid-level quarterback. And I'm like, does this team even get to the playoffs? Nope. Well, okay. Still got to give him $58 million. We're stuck with him. I'm not interested in that. And that's what's going to happen.
Well, you don't know what's going to happen. So, right, but the point, I understand what
Dane
you're saying.
Dane Brugler, are you disagreeing with Dane Brugler's The Beast, Joe?
Well, Dane Brugler does agree.
Keep in mind, this may get you fired from The Athletic if you say you disagree with The Beast.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, it's very – Dane Brugger does a great job. I love The Beast. It is the best draft guide. And also, like, I could go back to – you pick a year. I'll go back and find some stuff in The Beast and be like, oh, my God, look at what he thought about this guy. Yeah, I mean, we're all wrong all the time on these guys. But I think the point, Jared, is now that they're at this spot, the point of the whole thing is to win a championship, right? It's not to have a quarterback who does this or that. Or to, we have a franchise quarterback. Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be that exciting to Chiefs fans if he was just having 5,000-yard seasons if they didn't win championships, right?
I don't know. I think Lamar Jackson's pretty exciting to Ravens fans.
Yes, but that's – well, sure, he's a great player, and you love him as a player, but also because every year you feel like you got a chance. And they haven't done it yet, but you got a chance, right?
There's no quarterback that if they have, like, a 5,000-yard season that you don't think there's a chance with. I mean, like, Herbert would be the example where I'm like
– I could show you some Matt Stafford seasons with the Lions that got pretty close where no one thought there was a chance. But the point is, so if you have a season like we – you know, the Baker is obviously the example given this year. If that's the performance you can get regularly –
well,
if you can build a team,
though.
Well, right, but to me, that's how I looked at the question. If you can build a team around that, you can have a chance to win a championship. You can win a championship with a top 12, top 14 quarterback. No? Yes or no?
Yes. I think it's easier, though, if you get the quarterback without using the super, super premium number one overall pick to build your team around that eventual quarterback. I mean, again, trading the number one pick out is what allowed the Titans to be able to build a team eventually around Ryan Tannehill that competed for a spot in the Super Bowl.
Right. We're on the same page on what they should do. We know what they're going to do, and none of us think they should do it. I mean, right? Like, that's what it is.
Well, that's, again, my point is what's happened now is I think most people in the media, I think that most people, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I do feel like most people going into free agency said, yeah, these quarterbacks aren't that good, so just figure out quarterback, you know, stopgap quarterback or Sam Darnold or whatever. We didn't know Geno Smith was available, but that would have been another option. You know, that kind of quarterback, and then trade the pick and get all the draft capital and build the team up. And the Titans didn't do that. Well, now it's like, well, they didn't do that, so this is what they should do. No, to me, it's like that's what they should have done, and I'm going to keep hammering that down because I think they blew it, and we'll see, and I'm hopeful that I'm wrong because I'm a Titan fan, but at the same time, like, I'm not forgetting that the reason they're in this situation and not doing what they should be doing, and we're not doing what we should be doing, which is talking about what are they going to do with 3 and 34 and 65 and next year or whatever. Like, the reason is because they chose this path, and that bothers me.
So you brought up Lewis
Riddick. I think it's easier to build it around, you know, again, the Baker Mayfield quarterback you can get in free agency than it is to draft the quarterback number one and then build around the quarterback.
Good for
unless
the cap,
he's
though. Salary cap.
Force multiplier.
Salary cap help, though.
Well, the Amy cap might be a real thing because if this team sucks this upcoming year, I mean, I know they say the PSL sales are going great, but we'll see.
Oh, Jared thinks they're lying.
We'll see. So on the you brought
Wouldn't
up Lewis
be the first
Riddick.
Time that A, I've thought that they've lied, and B, that they have lied.
Well, there's that. So Lewis Riddick throws it out there on, I guess it was NFL Live the other day, that he thinks that Cam Ward is going to have the same impact as Mahomes. Now, does he actually mean that? I don't know, but that's what he said. So on one hand, like, you've got all these draft experts, and we've talked about the consensus boards and all that, that basically have Cam Ward as like the 13th or 15th best prospect in the draft. And on the other hand, Jared, you've got guys like Lewis Riddick, and I know Todd McShay's talked about Cam Ward and thinking he could be pretty special. Like, there are some guys out there on TV who think that Cam Ward is about to be, like, incredible for the Titans. So where's the disconnect there in your mind?
So I've decided I'm going to use this with Cam Ward as the – or with Lewis Riddick as the litmus test, because Lewis Riddick interviews every now and then for general manager jobs, and people always say, oh, Lewis Riddick should be a GM. So guess what? This is the litmus test now for Lewis Riddick, because I think Lewis Riddick is just a talking head on television. Like, I think he and Dan Orlovsky are hot takers who come off as experts for whatever reason. And I think they're really more hot takers like me than they are experts like
Jared. Always ignores what people like actually play in the league. And like, yeah, okay, sure. Keep going. Go ahead.
I mean, look, I love Chris Sanders with all my heart. He's a good man. You guys, should we make Chris Sanders GM?
Probably not.
I'll make him GM before I make you GM.
I mean, hey, if I was GM, I'd hire Chris to be assistant GM. So who am I to say?
There you go.
But again, I go back to, would you hire D Mace to be GM?
I don't know. It'd be pretty good.
Again, hierarchy, D Mace, then here, you down here. But yeah.
I just, with Lewis Riddick to me, this is the litmus test here of whether or not Lewis Riddick is actually a smart football person or, again, just a taker on TV. And right now, I'm guessing he's just a taker on TV because very few other people are going to sit there and say, he's Mahomes. And that's exactly what he said. Like, Robbie's like, I don't know if he actually meant that. I played the cut like 8 times yesterday. He said, he's like, my comp for him is Patrick. And I think that's what you're getting. And I think the impact that he's going to have is the impact that Patrick had.
I know he said that, but like, how could you possibly mean that? Like, Mahomes has got 3 Super Bowls and is on track to be the greatest quarterback of all time. That's the impact he's talking about.
Here's the other thing that, again, and Joe doesn't believe this, but I believe this, which is I don't think it's an accident that Patrick Mahomes was kind of discovered, drafted, developed by the best offensive coach, had the best wide receiver, the best tight end. Like, I don't think that's an accident. And right now you're going to bring Cam Ward to a team where we don't even know if Brian Callahan could coach. And if I'm a betting man, I would, and I like Callahan and I hope he does well, but if I'm a betting man, I would bet against Callahan's ability to coach. And his number one receiver is Calvin Ridley, not exactly Tyreek. And his tight end Chig can't catch. So other than that, I mean, he's set up perfectly for him to become Mahomes.
What are you saying I don't agree with?
You think that Mahomes would be great no matter what, and I think that Mahomes was great because Andy Reid developed him and put him into the right situation.
Well, no.
Exactly.
No, see, you're –
whereas, like,
you're
I think Burrow would have been good if he had gone to play for the Nashville Sacks.
Yeah, that's the part of the take that's just mind-blowing. Yeah. No, Patrick Mahomes had to have Reid, but Joe Burrow is just absolutely system-proof. That's such a crap take.
Joe Burrow's coach is a dope.
No, he's not. Just stop it.
Look, you think his coach is Andy Reid?
No, Andy Reid is a better coach, and absolutely I believe that Mahomes benefited from all those things. I also believe that Mahomes, if he went to the Lions for a lot of their existence, I said this about Brady. Brady goes to the Lions that year, like the 5th round, he's coaching middle school football at age 28.
I mean, I don't disagree with you about Brady. The two quarterbacks that I feel like are, you know, moron-proof are Manning and Burrow.
No.
I mean, you think that Manning went to the organization that has already taken two quarterbacks in Luck and Richardson and done everything they can do to ruin both of them?
They all need help. I mean, they all need help. Manning had incredible talent around him. They all need help.
It is kind of incredible in retrospect that they were successful as they were under Jim Irsay.
Given what Jim Irsay and Jim Mora Sr.
Yeah.
Jim Mora Sr. was the coach. And Manning was 13-3 or whatever it was in year two. And that was
they had your boy Bill Polian, though.
No, Polian's good. But, I mean, again, when you go to the Super Bowl as many times as he goes to the Super Bowl with different organizations, it's probably not a fluke. Even though Paul thinks Polian doesn't know anything anymore.
All right, so I got to get to your Masters thing. What are we struggling here with, Stilly, on the Masters comprehension?
What's hard for you?
I'm trying to figure out what your problem with the Masters is here.
So my biggest problem with the Masters is not so much like the fact that it's the biggest golf tournament and people are going to watch. And if it's interesting on Sunday, I'll watch it too. It's the reverence that these Bama bangs, 18, 23-year-olds from the South just have with the Masters. And then they become like 35-year-olds and 40-year-olds, and they wear Masters polos, and they drink from little plastic cups with the Masters logo on it, and they
That's
wear Masters hats all year, and they tear up every time they hear that little CBS jingle.
Yeah,
and they and it's like, oh, the Masters! And I'm like, is it really that special?
Yes.
Like right now, apparently some guy, and again, I read this on Reddit, so I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently somebody that worked at StubHub sold the Masters the info of all the people that sell their badges or whatever. So the Masters is canceling it because you're not allowed to put it on the secondary market. And I read these people that are like, I would kill to go to the Tuesday practice round at the Masters one day. I would just kill for it.
I think
and
I would too. Like,
but it's why?
I think he might kill
just
you.
Just go to the Valspar. Go to the Valspar.
Yeah,
it's
that's
fine.
The same.
Same golfers. It's the same.
Yeah, you could go watch a football game at Neyland Stadium, but why not go over here to the park in Metro Nashville? It'd be good.
Somebody tweeted me yesterday, would you rather see the Rays play the Red Sox at Fenway Park or Tropicana Field? I'm like, I've been to both. I like Tropicana Field more.
What?
Like, Tropicana Field's not bad.
Well,
Tropicana Field's kind of
like
the
Nissan Stadium. You've been to Fenway and Tropicana? I've been to both, too. And you like Tropicana Field more than Fenway?
I hated Fenway.
Good God.
That may be your hottest
take. Fenway's so tight and cramped and old and, you know, like I had to
get it out of here. We got this awesome dome to watch baseball in.
Just go watch the Masters this weekend, Stilly. The course is beautiful.
Did you cover games at Fenway Park, Joe?
No, I went to go to Tigers-Red Sox game with Katie.
It was a nightmare covering games with like one elevator that you got on that elevator at Fenway Park and you didn't know if you were going to make it out.
Beer and chowder and baseball and history. but you like Tropicana Field better.
So I went to Tropicana Field 2 years ago when the Braves were down there. And I mean, all I ever hear about is how terrible the stadium is and how the Rays are going to leave because the stadium sucks so bad.
It does suck.
I went there. I was like, this is a good stadium. It's a good stadium. It is a good stadium. It is like Nissan Stadium. It's not, you know, it's not super ritzy. It's not super nice. It's not super, but it's good enough. It's a good stadium. And all I ever hear about
is a stadium.
About it. It's a good stadium.
They've got foul poles and everything.
Hope everybody enjoys the Masters this weekend. Just be thinking about how you could be watching the Valspar Championship.
Here's the other thing I don't like about the Masters at this point in time.
Oh, you know, we didn't ask for this tape, but yeah, give us another one.
When I was a kid, they used to do the thing on CBS I used to like, where they'd line up all the announcers, and it'd be like, I'm Peter Costas, and I'll be at the 15th hole.
Yeah, Vern's out there.
It's a 423-yard par 5, and it was originally a par 4. But when Arnold Palmer said, I could never, ever make a par 4, they made it a par 5. The next year, Arnie eagled for his second green jacket. And now on the 16th hole, here's Vern Lundquist. And they don't do that anymore. That was my favorite part. They don't even do that anymore.
Hey, Vern was there last year. Yeah, let's see how it goes.
Vern's retired now.
I know. It's a tough one. Stilly, thank you for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Keezer, we love you.
Thanks, Jared.
Very well said. We'll react to what Stilly had to say coming up next. We got Clark Lee at 7:30. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The Atlanta Braves country road trip coming to town, teaming up with the Nashville Predators and 102.5 The Game. Join us at BetMGM Sports Lounge in Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, April 16th for a Braves watch party as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays at noon. We got awesome giveaways like a chance to win Braves tickets to the game of your choice every 30 minutes, plus Braves hats, T-shirts, autographed baseballs. The first 15 people in the door will win a pair of Preds tickets to that night's game as well. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. We'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee here in just a few minutes coming up at 7:30. So looking forward to that. I figured, Joe, the genesis of Stilly's frustration this week as it relates to the Baker Mayfield conversation has more to do with how Titans fans would take that and how they did not want any part of Sam Darnold, which I guess to some degree I understand.
Yeah. Now, it was 1 year with Darnold, and we've seen it for multiple years from Baker. But I'm for the most part, in agreement. I bought in to Darnold last year, and I would have kicked the tires at least on that possibility with Sam Darnold. I understand how it ended. It ended poorly. He was not good in those last two games. You and I watched some games with Sam Darnold playing this year. Pretty freaking good, man. Yeah. And terrific
thoroughly
support
upset
around
me.
Him. Yeah. Yes. Sorry about that. Sorry to bring it up. As you were,
we got a lot of thoughts on Stilly's Fenway take on the text
oh my
line
God.
As well. Like, Mark from Ashland City says, I've heard so many awful hot takes from Stillman, so I shouldn't be surprised about his Fenway take, and yet I am. That's the worst sports take I've ever heard in my life. Fenway is incredible. One texter just said, Stillman lost all credibility talking loco, saying the Trop is better than Fenway.
God, it's so bad.
And then we got other people going after the Masters take, adding another tally to his moronic takes. It was quite the back-to-back there on the Masters take and Tropicana Field being better than Fenway Park.
Yeah, I like this one. Stillman is truly a lost ball in tall weeds. I kind of like that. Bring it to golf. I like it. Yeah, yeah. The Fenway take is that's one to keep in mind. We need to have a master list of the worst takes, and the Fenway Tropicana take needs to be on that sucker. you just entered one into the into the archives, man. I mean, my God.
We have some news in the NFL. You know, Joey, we spoke several times about this player yesterday, and now he has found a job. The Cleveland Browns and veteran quarterback Joe Flacco have reached an agreement today on a one-year, $4 million deal.
Okay.
Worth up to $13 million with incentives. That's coming from Schefter, who put it out there. So Flacco back to Cleveland, and he has reached a one-year deal with the Browns. At age 40.
Well, I shed a tear for the texter this week that's just been screaming about Flacco. I forgot it.
It's
your
Caleb.
Name. Sorry. It's Caleb. Sorry, Caleb. There you go. Well, it's interesting. I do wonder.
To take him out of the cousin friend?
I do wonder. Does that mean that they just don't think that that's going to happen with Cousins? That's kind of what I've been hoping for. I think that would be really interesting. And like Charles said yesterday, it would kind of make sense. You know, see how everything all shakes out at quarterback with all these teams after the draft, and then maybe there's a spot. But yeah, it'd be weird for me. I know it's only $4 million, but it'd still be weird for me that they would sign Flacco and then go trade for Cousins.
That would be strange. I mean, it could be the Cousins, Flacco, Kenny Pickett QB room with Deshaun Watson, I guess, just rolling around out there. Could be interesting.
Yeah, that could be. Texter's asking if we drug test here. We don't. And I do think today may be time we may need to start. Maybe policy change today, but potentially.
Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, will join us coming up next. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 7:45. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. It is a beautiful time of year. The weather's turning. Spring football is in the air. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee to the program. Clark, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing awesome, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. We got the Black and Gold spring game coming up tomorrow, 1 o'clock at First Bank Stadium. By the way, you can hear that action here on 102.5 The Game. So, Clark, let's just start there. What's the spring been like for you and your program to this point, and how much you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, you know, I don't know that there's a program in the country that's had a bad spring. You know, it's typically we like to see everything in the most positive light this time of year. But, you know, here's what we've been able to do. You know, in the winter, our guys were training with a strength coach that they'd become familiar with from last year. And so systems have been retained. People have been retained. There's a level of comfort. It feels like year two. And that's exciting because we felt like we made a ton of progress a year ago. You know, and feel like we've retained a pretty good team. We've added some pieces to it that I think will help us. And I've been impressed with the work we've gotten accomplished through the winter and, again, training in the weight room to now having, you know, we'll have practice 14 today, which will be like a walkthrough. You know, that's been competitive. It's been spirited. We've had fun. And so tomorrow is going to be a celebration of all that. And it'll be, you know, it'll be a quick afternoon. We'll be playing for right at an hour. But I think it'll give fans a chance to see, obviously, some of the players they've become familiar with and some new players, just a chance to engage with the program and check in on the progress and get games at 1 o'clock. The kids zone opens at 11 a.m., if the two of you guys want to get out there, and we'll have some donuts maybe, and you guys can run around and play on the slides and such.
Oh, but, that's all I need.
Oh, there's not a weight. There's not a weight limit on those.
No, no. Okay. Listen, it's the technological advances, and then we're going to do some autographs after the game too. So I think it'll be a great afternoon, and again, it's just a chance for everyone to check in on progress, but also really look forward to what the fall could hold for our program.
So you're not obviously a coach who's freaked out about spies showing up and scouting your players. It seriously, like, it, I mean, some coaches have gotten rid of these spring games. Have you thought about that at all, Clark? Or, like, I mean, are we looking out for spies tomorrow? Like, what do you think about all that?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I understand kind of the concerns and the conditions right now for our game. I mean, it's chaos. And so what I'm doing is what I think is best for our program. And we're still trying to build, out our community. You know, I think we had a season that has gotten people excited. We have a team that gets people excited, and I want to share in that with Nashville and, give ourselves a chance to continue to build. And that's more important to me than being fearful of, people coming in and trying to poach our players. And I'm not naive any more to the fact that, you know, I mean, the portal will open next week and I think I have a pretty good pulse on where we are. And I think there's going to have to be some necessary turnover here. So it's not like we're going to get out of that without losing players. That's just a part of roster management. But at the same time, you know, we're a little different here in that, you know, these guys on our team, they've invested a lot. They've really done hard things together, and I think they feel some ownership stake in what we're doing. And I mean, look, they're all excited. They want to continue to help this program that we've all poured into reach for new levels of success. And I think we all kind of can feel the opportunity we have to do that. And so rather than be fearful of some external force coming in and trying to, you know, mess with that, I'm really more interested in us, you know, having the opportunity to celebrate the progress we made together, and then also to do it with our community. I think that's so important here, because part of the mission is to obviously to build a program that cares about itself and you know, that again, you know, has a group of people that are investing independent of what anyone else thinks about what we're doing, but also as a Nashvillian, as someone who grew up in this city and grew up going to games, you know, I want to build out a community that supports our team, so that, you know, Saturdays in the fall in First Bank Stadium or something that create memories for people. And again, the spring game tomorrow is a chance for us to do that.
And you can get tickets at vucommodores.com, free parking out there as well. So it should be a great time coming up tomorrow. So Clark, you talk about the investment level, and I'm just curious, you saw some payoff for that last year. It was such a fun year to watch you guys and to be a part of all that. So in the aftermath of that, how energizing has the year that you all had last year been for your guys, this program, and how have you kind of seen that manifest itself to this point in the spring?
Well, you know, the challenge is always to, you know, to reset yourself. And I mean, you know, I learned, you know, a couple years ago that you can see kind of signs of progress, but you got to still systems check and scrutinize everything, because, you know, especially in our league, you know, you're not guaranteed anything by way of, you know, doubling down on your process and thinking that's going to lead to better results. So, here's what we learned last year. You know, we learned we can be good enough to win games if we play within our identity and strategy. I saw a team that was 2-2 and had come off a tough loss at Georgia State and a double overtime loss at Missouri, you know, set its jaw and really reestablished the things that were most important to us. Hey, we're going to play with an identity, which is a chip on our shoulder, and have an edge. We're going to play to a strategy, which is about game control offense and point limitation defense, and we needed to eliminate penalties and some of those self-imposed errors, and we committed to it, and we were able to then turn and turn some results and really be in some competitive games where, you know, we felt like we were able to play with anyone. Now, I felt as the year wore on, and particularly after the Auburn game, and we were beat up, and it felt as though we had kind of squeezed everything out of the tube to get to six. And though we came in the South Carolina game and in the LSU game and the Tennessee game, I thought we had the right spirit. We weren't able to sustain play to allow ourselves to win in those games. And so a lot was learned about the need for depth, about the need to really think about how we sustain performance through the season. If we want to win late in our conference, we're going to have to take a healthy and fresh team into November. And obviously the goal for us is to play into January. And so, you know, we've been addressing that right now with, you know, kind of what we're asking our players to do and sacrifice in their own habits, obviously in the way we train them to set the course for, you know, durability. And then as we shift into the summer and then the fall camp, I'm going to be really thinking long and hard about how we practice day in, day out, so that, again, we have a fresh team late in the season. I think all those things are points of improvement for us. When you look at our actual season, I mean, you know, analytically, we performed lights out in very specific areas that we emphasize, and there's also places where you know, continued performance at the level that we played at a year ago, there's no way it's sustainable. And one of those would be third down defense. You know, we have to improve in that area. Another would be explosive plays on offense. Again, an area we have to improve upon. So we've taken time to address those things, and we'll continue through the summer and the fall camp. To finally answer your question about what the feeling has been, we're all just so excited because I think we see the specific areas we need to address. I think we have clarity on that, and we've intentionally and purposefully worked on those areas. And so every day you feel like you're taking ground on the mission. And we know that the league strengthens. We know the schedule's hard. We know all those things, but what we're going to do is focus on ourselves and try to be the best possible version of Vanderbilt football that we can be, and know that that's going to be good enough. And we're going to have a chance to, again, to build on the progress of last season in the fall.
How is Diego Pavia's health, Clark? Is he going to get a lot of action tomorrow? I know he didn't play a ton in the scrimmage last week.
He'll obviously we're not going to hit him. And his health is great. I mean, I watched him put on a master class yesterday. We were working kind of fourth down and throw situations tight to the goal line. So it'd be like, to me, some of the hardest calls to make defensively are like, you know, you got fourth and 10 or fourth and 8 from the 8, fourth and 10 from the 10. Those are really challenging. You know, do you pressure? Who do you leave on an island? Where can you double? Like, and so I think those situations are important to work in practice. So we were doing that yesterday, and within that too, some third down situations also. And just to watch him, you know, use the play clock, identify where the pressure's coming from, change protections, move the formation around to account for it, and then, you know, and then extend the play and find an open receiver. I mean, it's, you know, he gets so much attention for his play personality and his charisma and that swagger, which we all love. I think what's undervalued in him is the process he takes day in, day out to his work, the level of connection he builds with his teammates, some of the things he does in the quiet corners of the building that really strengthen our program. But beyond that, I mean, this kid is a really smart football player. And, you know, what I watched yesterday, I've not seen from a quarterback, just in terms of the way he can handle himself, the way he can see it, and then his mastery of the offense to know how to get it into the right call. So all that to say, you know, we don't want to expose him to any kind of injury tomorrow. He's in a great place right now. You know, he's likely going to play, you know, a few snaps early, maybe the first series or so. And we'll keep conversations about that ongoing in the building here. But otherwise, he'll be there in support of his teammates, and he'll be able to interact with fans and stuff afterwards. And again, I think he's had a really nice spring. And so the goal tomorrow is let's have some fun. Let's celebrate the progress we've made together, and really have a chance to celebrate the past year with our community, and let's get out of the game healthy.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Like I said, you can check it out at VUCommodores.com. Looking for tickets. Tickets are free, parking free down there as well, and lots of activities going on around First Bank Stadium as the spring game starts tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Clark, really appreciate your time. Really appreciate catching up with you, and college football season will be back around before we know it in the fall. So thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, great to be with you guys. And last thing for me, listen, it's going to be about an hour of playtime. You know, again, the kids zone opens at 11 a.m. If you have young kids, to bring them out and to let them have fun. I just ask everyone to come join us, and let's have a great Saturday afternoon. Should be great weather, and a chance for us to share in the spirit of what we're building. So thanks so much for the time, guys, and look forward to seeing y'all soon.
Look forward to it as well. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Again, the black and gold spring game coming up tomorrow. As you mentioned, the kid zone opening up at 11 o'clock, the game starting at 1, so it should be a lot of fun out at Vanderbilt tomorrow. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. We got TD coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Did you see how quickly I destroyed that glazed donut?
Holy yeah. Crap. Yeah, but you got it with like 30 seconds left before we came back from break.
It's disastrous. So I'm going to be in a bad mood today. I'd rather listen to REO Speedwagon fart into an accordion than go to a Creed show. But that's just me. No, but I hope you're a wiper. I certainly hope you're wiping. I know you've been in the gym hard. Hope you're wiping just as hard as you're lifting, Charles.
But it's okay to have your own mints in your pocket, right?
Yeah, you didn't. Everybody? You didn't distribute them to anyone else.
No, I'm done with that.
Anybody want my pocket mints? Pocket mints. Going once. Going twice. Anybody want one?
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexro. That was Keezer's final mashup there. He was proud of that one.
That was pretty good. There's some greatest hits in there. But I forgot about like what the wiper thing was.
Didn't know where that was going.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, right, the gym. The gym. Yeah.
Equipment.
So I don't really – I have nothing scripted. I have no – I don't have a plan necessarily, except that since Keezer's leaving, I'm going to ask Robbie, myself, and the listeners to give Keezer some life advice on his way out of the Robbie and Rexroad program. So we have not talked about this.
We have not.
Because you can't. You have to go off the top of your head, off the cuff, first thing that comes to mind. So I invite the listeners to don't call, because it's a lot easier to just deal with your text and ignore the dumb ones and read the better ones quickly. But Robbie, I'm going to put it on. I'm going to put it on you right now. What do we need to tell? Well, I don't know. I don't really have good life advice.
Off the cuff, he doesn't know.
I've got a kid right there. You can ask him. I mean, have I given him any good life advice? Probably not.
Well, my life advice for you, Keezer, is this: you have done something in life already that I think is very difficult to do, and that is you found a passion that you have that you are pursuing as a career, and very, very few people on the earth get the chance to do that. So I would just say embrace that, enjoy that. Your passion for the game of hockey has served you well. It will continue to serve you well. And I look forward to watching you do great things in this business. So keep that in perspective. That would be my advice. Of not a whole lot of people get to do work that they love doing. So just enjoy that.
Absolutely.
That's good advice. It's like the choice. It's not always a choice, but sometimes – a texter says, Nick, do the opposite of Joe. That's good advice. That's the type of stuff we're looking for here, folks. But it is sometimes the choice of, you know, some people like kind of live in their job and some people live out. And I'm not saying either one is right or wrong, right? Like some people have a job, it pays the bills, and maybe sometimes a job like that can pay the bills better than the job that, you know, that you love with your passion. And some people live in their job, right? And ideally you love what you do. There are people listening who are like, yeah, I clock in, I clock out, I get paid. And then the things that I love in life are outside of that, which is fine too. Right. But I think it is great that you have a passion for something that you want to pursue.
Are you stealing my advice for him?
I'm riffing on your, I'm following up on your advice.
Okay.
I don't have any advice.
Okay.
That's kind of, I guess that's kind of the rant, is I don't have anything good to tell any young
Joe,
people.
Empty mind. Thank you so much. The
I
same thing for my wedding.
Nothing to offer.
What did I do for your wedding?
Nothing. You didn't really have much to say. I don't think so.
Did I give a speech?
Were you supposed, no. Was he supposed
was
to?
Was I so drunk I forgot I gave a speech?
No, what? Not that. I think it was more when I came back, we kind of reflected on what maybe you two had said.
Oh, okay.
But I mean,
well, it's just a wealth of knowledge over here.
Oh, so in other words, I probably had some, you know, my big marriage advice.
I'll have to go back and listen.
You know, I married my cousin last year.
You did what?
Let's please clarify.
Oh, God, I said it again. I said it the wrong way again.
Can we please clarify what you're talking about?
Twice that I've done that.
That's a drop.
For the love of God, let's clarify what you're saying there.
I served as the officiant.
Thank you.
And my cousin and his wife got married. You know, I married another cousin last year.
Right in front of Brennan, man.
Yeah, I know. Brennan's like, wow. Well, it all adds up.
I immediately needed you to clarify that for our audience.
Measuring cheek size. But anyway, you now you understand what I'm saying. But one of the big things, my grandma, Brennan here's great grandma, he calls her Gigi, Phyllis Pratt, 97 years old. You know, I got advice from her to give him, and one of her pieces of advice was, you know, like, people are always like, don't go to sleep angry. And I'm like, that is such a load of crap. You're going to go to sleep angry plenty. It's fine to go to sleep angry. Just win the argument.
Especially as a Lions fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Your marriage advice from Rex Road. Just make sure you win.
No, but I mean, that's really not it. But the don't go to sleep angry is so not real life. You're going to just eventually make up, right? Like if you have to make up in the morning, make up in the morning. You could never go to sleep angry, my darling. It's like, come on, man. This is really going well.
Just make sure you eventually repair your relationship with your spouse.
Exactly. Give a fake apology at some point. It'll be fine.
Golly.
There's some good stuff on here, though. Do the dishes in marriage is one.
I do that every day. Thank you.
Never compromise your name, work ethic, or integrity. We got some heavy stuff here. I like this. You know, like treat people nice, especially when people aren't looking. I think that's treat people how you want to be treated. I think that's a great thing.
One note for Chase is he needs to do drug tests after those comments that you made.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, today is definitely the show of like kind of telling Chase we may need to vet some things a little more closely around here. Yeah, remember those who helped you along the way where you came from, pay it forward. This is all good stuff, you know? Someone says, Joe, way to leave Nick worse than you found him. Hey, he's walking out of here. He's okay.
And again, Joe was the officiant in the wedding.
Yes.
For his cousin.
Yes. I was the officiant
of
my
cousin's wedding.
Let's
make sure this is crystal clear before we move on.
I got no Sweet Home Alabama stuff going on here.
Someone's asking about
Alabama's
taking a
shot over here.
You got some Alabama shots on the text line.
Kentucky's taking a shot over here, too. Good gracious.
My goodness.
We'll have Teron Davenport with us coming up next. Get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.